The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another week and another edition of the Computer Corner. We're here for the next 2 hours to talk to you about technology, about computers, about the things that perhaps frustrate you. But maybe today we'll talk about how some of those frustrations might be coming to an end. Or maybe new frustrations are on their way. I don't know. It's up to you. So we're going to talk about Windows 7. That's the topic of the show today. And, of course, we got lines open for you if you want to talk about Windows 7. And the reason today is the day for us to really talk about it is it's officially launching next week on the 22nd. For some of us, it's already launched. In our stores across the country, we're part of a special group that is allowed to start selling it. We were actually allowed to start selling it as of last Monday. So we've already had people ordering machines and machines that we've sold that have Windows 7 on it. And for the rest of the folks, the big box guys out there in the world, the 22nd, this coming Thursday, I believe,
yep,
is the official launch date. And it's the latest, greatest, newest, most bestest stuff from Microsoft. So we thought it'd be worth taking some time to talk about what it is, whether it's something for you or whether it's something that you should wait for, what our take is on it, and, of course, get your feedback, your calls, your questions. Your calls and questions don't have to be about Windows 7, but we're going to try to tie that in and maybe bug you a little bit about whether you plan on upgrading, and if so, when. And those lines that I mentioned, they're open at 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Of course, if you're listening online and you want to get involved in the show, you can call or you can jump on board our website, datadoctors.com/radio. There you'll find links to ask questions, make suggestions. We've got big new buttons where you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Or all of the above.
All of the above, if you're really a fan, right?
Yes, I am.
You're a fan?
I am a fan.
Fantastic.
I follow it all.
How do you keep it all straight in your head, Ben?
It's not easy. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's easy.
We've also got resources if you're interested in doing a little digging on Windows 7. What are some of the new features? What are some of the things that maybe you'll like? Some of the things maybe you'll love? Some of the things maybe you won't like so much? So all that information's there for you at datadoctors.com/radio. We've also got somebody from Microsoft that'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour here.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, so we can drill her a little bit about why it's so great and maybe why we should be upgrading tomorrow or next week, or should we be waiting, and you know, what are some of the coolest features, what are the things that they really spent a lot of time on, you know, that kind of stuff. Of course, if you've got questions and you want to ask our expert from Microsoft, you can jump on the line now, and I'm sure she'll be happy to answer some questions from people who have questions. If it's things we can't answer, if we just want to get the official word, we can do all that. So I think we've got her here for half an hour or so at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, coming up in the show later on, our Geek Speak of the Week, our Head Whack of the Week. We might let Ben talk. It's all good.
Thank you.
By the way, introductions, quickly. Across from me, it's Ben. That's it. I forgot his name earlier. And I know it now, but now I'm not going to say it because it's just, you can say it.
It's Ben Cruzy.
Yeah. Some people say Cruz.
They do. It's
like,
okay.
Like Tom's cousin, but it's spelled differently and it's pronounced differently.
My uncle is actually Tom Cruise, but not that one.
Not that one? Not the one that jumps up and down on a couch on Oprah?
That, yeah.
So it's Ben across from me. I'm Brandon Disney, and we are together the Data Doctors, or we're some of the Data Doctors.
Some of them.
The force is mighty.
It is. It's really strong in this room right now.
It spans great areas. And, yeah, we do this show. We've been doing it for a little bit more than a decade. It's usually myself or Ken, you hear, and then we cycle in different folks to help out. And Ben's one of the good guys out there in the world that helps take care of people every day and brings a lot of real-world knowledge. And he's already sold somebody his first Windows 7 machine. And he bought a copy, like a legitimate legal copy. Yes, computer guys do that. And we'll talk a little bit about his experiences so far. Did you play with the release candidate or any of the betas or anything like that?
Not the betas. RC1, that's it.
That was the latest thing before it finally released. And from everything I've seen, it's pretty much the same thing as what they actually released. So they did a good job of releasing the pre-release, the RC release candidate, and making it locked down and pretty much what was good to go for the final version. So I've been using it in my home for a while. It's on the computer that my wife uses and my kids use. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. And I was going to try to get my wife to like participate a little bit, but she's not into that whole kind of like talking on the radio thing. So I'll give you what I think her take is based on my conversations with her, because I wanted to, you know, she's not a technology kind of person. Years ago, I brought home this box called a TiVo, and she looked at that thing and said, "You are not hooking that up to our TV." And I said, "Let me just put it on there. And after a week, if you don't like it, I'll take it off. I'll take it back. You don't have to deal with it." She said, "I don't want a computer hooked up to my TV." I said, "It's not a computer, even though it is." I said, it's this cool thing called a DVR. And she went, "I don't know what it is. I don't like it. Too many cables, too many buttons. I don't want to learn something new." But, okay, a week and it's out of here. A couple days later, I said, "Okay, you ready for me to take that thing back?" She goes, "No way." Right? So my point is she's not a big technology kind of person. But when something works and works well, I generally hear about it. And when something doesn't, I definitely hear about it. So, anyway, I'll tell you what her take is. Average Joette. Is that the female version of Joe? Average Jane?
I like that one better.
Josephine. Thanks, Pete. The average Josephine point of view about Windows 7. Of course, you'll get Ben's point of view, my point of view. And anybody who wants to call in, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTR. We got all the lines full now. When you hear somebody hang up as the show progresses, that'll be your time to call in. By the way, Ben, your Hawkeyes look like won 6 of the last 8 versus Wisconsin. What's that?
They did, but I think they won. They actually won the game today. Yeah.
Are you going to freak out?
I already did. I was already excited.
Yeah, Ben freaks out about that kind of thing.
I love college football.
We're going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, Windows 7, it's really worth considering. Your questions, your calls, back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about Windows 7. So I told you I was going to tell you a little bit about the experience in the Disney household. I, maybe 6 months ago or so, right after the release candidate was released, I went and downloaded it. And our computer at home had been getting slow and loud, and you know the power supply fan was starting to get loud, and I said, "You know what? It's time for something new." That machine probably was 5 years old, something like that. So brought home a new machine, fresh installed Windows 7, and used that they used to call it the file and setting transfer wizard. What do they call it now? I can't remember the name. I mean, Windows 7, it's called something else, but it's a little wizardy deal that basically you tell it where all your old stuff is, and it copies things over and tries to import some settings, and it does a marginal job of sort of getting some of it right. Reality-wise, you got to be pretty technology savvy to make it work, but that luckily I sort of qualify in that department. So anyway, went through the whole thing, and a couple hours later, I got this machine that's ready to rock and roll, and I didn't really say anything to my wife. And I had taken our XP machine previously and upgraded it to Vista, and she wasn't real happy about that, and she made that pretty apparent. So the first thing she said is, "Ooh, it looks prettier." Okay, that's good, right? Next thing she said is it's quieter. Well, we can't really give Windows 7 much credit for that because it was a new machine, and that was why it was quieter, is because the old one just had a really loud fan. Couple days later, she said, you know, things just seem to be working faster. Well, it's a new machine. Again, we probably don't want to give Windows too much credit for that. But she just overall liked the experience. Things seemed more intuitive for her as far as where you click, what you do. And so since then, I haven't really heard anything negative about her computer other than every once in a while some problem that's not really related to anything other than out where I live, Cox has some problems from time to time. And you wait and the internet comes back. So generally, if I don't hear much about what's wrong with the computer, that's a great thing. Because if anything goes wrong at all, little things even, I hear about them right away. So not much of a story, but the point is that I'm not having to fix our computer. I'm not having to deal with it because it's just working fine. And I got two young kids that go on and do all kinds of stuff. I got my wife who goes on and does lots of things. And they all sort of have the attitude that, well, Dad can take care of it if we break it. So they're not the most cautious people in the world. And so far, so good. And when I have to sit down and play on the thing, it's fine. It's not much of a change from what I'm used to, although I adapt pretty easily. So I know a lot of people are afraid of change, and that's, you know, a different interface, a different look, a different feel. That's one of the issues that people face. The other is it's been a long time since I think Microsoft's gotten it right. And a couple people have already commented through our Facebook fan page, which you can see at facebook.com/datadoctors. And in our email and things, saying, well, I'm not going to go buy anything new from Microsoft because they haven't, you know, they've never done anything right the first time out. Well, a lot of people, I think, haven't had a computer for all that long, but years and years ago, when Windows 95 came out, it was such a major improvement over anything they had before that it was a hit from day one.
Yeah.
And later, when Windows 98 came out, it got even better. Things got more stable. Things got more compatible. Things ran better. So those were both, in my opinion, very successful, very good launches of operating systems, and a lot of people adopted quickly, and I don't think had regrets. Now, since then, they had a couple of missteps and steps in bad directions.
ME.
Yeah, and then Windows XP came along, and when it first came out, people were unsure, and you know, there was all kinds of negative talk and things, but quickly people figured out that this thing actually has some significant improvements. And it was, again, something that people jumped on board with. Now, they've made another bad step or a step in the wrong direction. It was Windows Vista, and it got a lot of bad press. And people quickly forget, but I think they've done it right for the first time in a long time. So that's my take. That's, I think, Ben's take.
Yeah, I had hardly any issues with the beta or the release candidate.
One of the biggest things they did in this new version of Windows is something that's been a problem since the beginning of time with operating systems, which is every time you take a major step forward, you have an issue that really isn't the fault of the operating system. It's the fact that there's a lot of people that have old software that was designed years ago and the manufacturer is gone, and so there's no update available for it, or people don't want to pay for an update with something that works perfectly well, that kind of thing. And so you have this compatibility issue. And that's always been an issue. And for the first time, Microsoft also stepped up and did something, I think, very smart. And they included something in the new version of Windows called Windows XP Mode, where it actually runs a little mini version of Windows XP inside of a window inside of Windows 7. And I know that sounds a little bit crazy and it sounds a little bit nuts. But the bottom line is that if your program worked in Windows XP, if it doesn't work in Windows 7, XP mode to the rescue. It's all but guaranteed to work in XP mode. And it's not a matter of having to reboot your computer or do anything funky. As far as the user experience, it's fairly seamless. You would install the program and it would just work in this kind of different mode where under the hood, it does something technically a little bit different. And it's something that they haven't done before. And it's something that was possible before, but you had to really understand how to set it up. And it took a lot of you learning or you hiring somebody, and now they've made that seamless and simple.
That was really genius of Microsoft to do that.
So that's a huge, huge, huge thing that's going to make the launch of this operating system significantly different than anything they've done before. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some of the other things that come with this new operating system. Of course, your calls, your questions. It is the Computer Corner. We're here for the next 90 minutes. And we've also got somebody from Microsoft joining us when we come back on the other side of the break here. A quick timeout, get you caught up with some news, some traffic, and then more about Windows 7. It's right here on the Computer Corner. It's Ben. It's Brandon. We're the Data Doctors.
Sure are.
Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about Windows 7. And our take is that Microsoft got something really right this time. It's, if you've been holding off and thinking, gosh, I don't know, I didn't like Windows Vista, I'm not sure, and you got this machine that's a little bit older, and maybe not be the first, you know, one of the first million people, but give it a week, and I'm sure well more than a million will have already taken the plunge. And so if you're looking to change out that computer or upgrade anytime soon, I think it's definitely worth a look.
It's going to be fantastic.
I mean, we've been running it for a long time. A lot of us have.
Yeah.
The pre-release version. And if anything, the release versions are better than the pre-release version. The pre-release version's been fine. It's been great. So, I promised that we'd have someone from Microsoft, a real Windows 7 expert, joining us. And now we do. Sondrine Skinner with Microsoft is here to help answer some of the questions and tell us about all that's wonderful in the world of Microsoft. Sondrine?
Yeah, hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. So we've been talking a little bit about Windows 7, and I'm guessing you've been doing a lot of talking about Windows 7.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Is this your regular gig to go on places and...
It's my second radio show in 3 weeks, but I usually do presentations in front of people, yeah.
Well, think of this as a presentation, but like not so professional, a little bit more laid back, right?
Yeah, very cool.
We got a few people listening, I'm sure. At least my mom, you know, which is good. and Ben's mom, maybe.
Possibly.
And a few other people out there hanging out. And anyway, we thought it'd be a good idea to get somebody from Microsoft to come and... help us understand what's cool about it. We've been telling people what we like, just the basics, and we'll dig more into some of the features. But we thought, you know, somebody from Microsoft could help us really understand what it was that consumers might care about and what are the things that make this, you know, the coolest thing since sliced bread from Microsoft.
Yeah, very cool. No, I'm happy you're inviting me to do that, too. Well, I mean, the one thing that I can highlight, and you already highlighted it a little bit earlier too, is really Microsoft Listen. And so I'll give you basically the philosophy of Windows 7, you know, all up. It's really about your PC simplified. It's providing an experience that is absolutely easy and enjoyable for everyone, whether you're using your PC at home or whether you're using your PC in your company, at your company environment.
So let's make the computer easy to use. That seems like a good idea, right?
Yes. So, I mean, simplifying the everyday tasks, for example. Things like searching. So we have desktop search throughout the OS. We also have the ability to actually customize and personalize the way you organize your files, whether they're documents or they're music files or they're pictures.
Okay, well, all this sounds cool. I mean, you guys have had desktop search for a while, but in the past it was sort of a big pig. Is this like an improved and like doesn't slow down my system? And
well, it's easier to find anything, not just your documents, but also arrange them and organize them the way you want. And I'm thinking like not just search. Search is one component of it, but also like think about your taskbar.
Okay.
And things like that. So things that today, actually, if you look at your XP desktop, like most users are using XP today, there's a bunch of shortcuts throughout the desktop. You know, the shortcuts to documents, shortcuts to anything. So you cannot see your desktop, actually. You don't have a clean desktop.
Oh, yeah. There's always like 50 different icons on there, and this little thing pops up every like month and says, hey, I can clean up some of this stuff, and like one thing disappears, and it's still a big mess.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have spent a lot of time finding ways to actually get rid of the garbage, basically, that is all over your desktop. And one way to do that is actually look at the taskbar, pin applications or programs onto the taskbar, as well as pin files that you use on a daily basis. So that, you know, now you look at your taskbar and it's really giving you a shortcut of everything that you need to have basically on a daily basis without necessarily looking at or closing your windows or all your open windows in order to find those shortcuts that I was telling you about.
Right.
Earlier.
That's something I noticed early on is you know, you're calling it the taskbar. Most people think of it as the start bar, right? So it's the starts in the lower left generally, right?
Well,
and then all this stuff goes on to the right of it.
And
it used to be that you had the start button, then you had all this quick launch stuff, which were these little icons to get to shortcut things, right?
That's correct.
Then you had what is the taskbar, and then all the way over to the right, you had all the different things that are currently running, and that taskbar became so crowded because there was no space. And one of the first things I noticed is they've changed up the way that all that works. And so sort of the quick launch and the taskbar sort of merged into one, and it doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense talking about it, but when you see it, it makes total sense.
Yeah, because we added also what we call jump list. So if you right-click on the taskbar icon that you have, for example, I have Word, and I know I use Word every day. So I can pin it to my taskbar, meaning that it's there every day when I log in. Okay, it's at the same place. You know, it might be the first icon that I see right after the start menu, for example, as you highlighted earlier. And then I can also say, well, you know, I work with this customer presentation every day or this customer, the speaker notes for this presentation, for example. I'll just basically pin this in my jump list. And my jump list is basically, again, a right-click away from the Word icon, the program icon that I have. And I can see what are the recently used documents, basically, and the pin files that I have access to.
All right. See, you just taught me something because I've heard of this jump list thing, but it never really made sense the way it was explained. And what you just said, you should just help them rewrite whatever their generic explanation is on the Microsoft website, because that makes a lot more sense what you said.
Okay, good.
Sandrine's version of jump lists is much better, much better than the official Microsoft whatever version. I like that.
Yeah, it's personalization, right? It's what makes, you know, more sense for you and how you find things easier. If Word is the application you use every day, maybe it's not. Maybe, you know, you want to reorganize it and actually change the icon, you know, sequence as well. You can have like up to 10 icons that you use of applications that you use every day, and then you can reorganize them as you see fit.
So
it's
making
really
it,
the paradigm
here. Being able to customize and making it easier, I get that. That's important.
Right.
Let's talk about something that I think is important to almost everyone. And it's why some people think that, well, maybe it's time for me to switch to a Mac, right? And it's the viruses, the malware, the spyware, the just overall security. What's been done to help us stay out of trouble when it comes to all that garbage?
So we've spent a lot of time re-architecting the product back in the Windows Vista days. So I know this presentation is not about, I mean, this conversation is not about Windows Vista.
Oh, it can be about Windows Vista. We'll take some callers, and you
sure.
Already know, I'm sure, what we know, which is people don't like Vista all that much, but that's okay because a new day's around the corner, right?
Yeah, but it also explains a few things, too, on Windows 7. So, like, we really re-architected the product in Windows Vista, and we changed the security layers, and we introduced a functionality called user account control, which I'm sure you heard about.
Yes. We've heard about, felt, and we're somewhat annoyed by.
Yeah.
Yes. So we removed the annoyance of this functionality.
So
the functionality is still there.
The safety stuff is still there.
Yes,
but it popping up every 10 seconds with every move I make to say, hey, are you sure you want to blink? Are you really sure? That was kind of crazy. And so what it caused us to do is say, well, let's turn that off because that's too annoying.
Yeah, and you don't want to turn this off.
Right, you don't want to turn it off because it's like saying, well, you know, seatbelts, they sure are annoying. I'm not going to wear those dang things.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to make them more comfortable so that people wear them, right? So
yeah, so we did that. That's exactly what we did. So we introduced the slider. How much notification can you actually tolerate? If you have a zero tolerance, then just, you know, put the slider to a lower volume, basically.
Right.
Don't
right.
annoy me.
Because I know some guys that are super paranoid, and they'd want that thing cranked up to the max. They'd like more notifications than you had in Vista. So you want to leave that around for those guys. But then, like guys like me say, you know what? I think I have I have a clue on what I'm doing. So just protect me from the really bad stuff, but don't bug the crap out of me.
Yeah, and the paradigm is still there. You want to run, you know, as a standard user. You don't want to have access to everything basically as an admin at the admin level. And that's really what this is about, to be safer.
And that's been a sort of a normal practice in other operating systems for years. And so I've heard a few people sort of say, well, why wouldn't I be an administrative user? You know, every other operating system on the planet, pretty much the recommendation is that you don't run as an administrator. You run as a regular Joe user. And then when you go to install something,
you elevate your privilege. Basically.
Right. And you don't have to log off and log back on and do all this crazy stuff. You can just elevate the privilege for that moment, do your little task. It's another thing that helps keep you protected from, you know, what is human nature, right? We get this email saying that our mail settings have changed and there's an attachment and you're busy, you're not thinking, you double click, right?
Yeah.
And so these little things help us stop and go, wait a minute, what? Oh, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Sandrine, we got to take a quick timeout here.
Okay.
Would you mind sticking around? We've got a couple of different callers who have questions about Windows 7, and I'd love if you could help us answer some of those questions.
Absolutely. I'll try.
Okay, great. I'm going to see if we can keep you on hold without hanging up on you, and we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we got Lewis, we got Richard, we got Rick. Your questions, your calls right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about Windows 7. And, well, the reason we're talking about Windows 7 is its official launch date is only a few days away. It's this coming Thursday, October 22nd. And we've got with us an expert in Windows 7 from Microsoft. It's Sandrine Skinner. Sandrine, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
I was hoping that we could jump on the phones and talk to a few people. You said yes, so we're going to jump right in and see what people have to ask about. I think Rick has a question that, if he's asking what I think he's asking, is a question a lot of people have. Rick, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Yes, hi.
Hi. We got Sandrine on with us. She's an expert from Microsoft. You got Ben and I. Between the two of us, we make half an expert. So what kind of question you have for all of us?
Well, I was checking to see if there was any good news for me as an XP user on how to get to Windows 7.
So you currently run Windows XP and you want to be running Windows 7. And the question is, how do we get from point A to point Z? Because I don't like point B. I'm going to go all the way to the end, right?
Yeah.
So if we're going point A to point Z, Sandrine, tell us there's good news.
There's good news because Windows 7 is absolutely great, right?
Well, but is there a way to upgrade?
You're asking specifically about the upgrade question.
Yeah, so it used to be in the past that you couldn't make a jump, meaning you couldn't go from XP to 7 as an example. You'd have to go to Windows Vista, then a second upgrade to Windows 7. And my understanding is that that's changed in our Windows 7
world.
You
don't need to make the middle jump, but you highlighted earlier your own experience, Brendan, about upgrading your PC, your family PC. And you used the tool, used the Windows Easy Transfer.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, well, the first thing that I would highlight is moving from Windows XP to Windows 7, you can do that. And you do that by, and if you're using the same PC, you want to continue to use your PC that you have, you may want to run through a tool that we have called the Windows Upgrade Advisor.
Yes, I would highly recommend you go and dig up the Upgrade Advisor. If you go to Microsoft's website, you're going to find it all over the place because obviously they're talking about Windows 7 right now. But it's just a quick program. It runs through, takes a quick inventory of your hardware, your software, applications, and it points out problems or issues. And like I ran it on my work computer. It said all my hardware was cool, except for I may not be able to see some of the cool graphics with Windows Arrow, which is a specific technology, which I sort of not surprised. And it said software-wise, everything was cool. It gave me a warning that I may have some reduced accessibility or some kind of feature on one particular piece of software that I said, no big deal. If that didn't work, I'd get over it quickly. But it just takes a few minutes, and it's simple. And I'd highly recommend anybody thinking about upgrading the same computer, run that first.
Yeah. And then the next step is basically once you figure out whether, you know, your machine is capable of running Windows 7, you need extra RAM, for example, or something like that, then you're ready to migrate. And the way you migrate is making sure that you back up all your files. And Windows Easy Transfer is basically the tool that you need in order to transfer all your data and settings over to Windows 7.
And that helps you do a backup and things, too, if you don't already have one, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So they made, you guys made it easy for us to get from point A to point Z. Now, something that we talk about all the time, a lot of people call up and they have problems with their computers and they're doing weird things and they're getting pop-ups and they think they might have viruses. You know, my advice is get all that stuff resolved before you try to upgrade. Upgrading is only going to carry those problems forward in a lot of cases. So don't try to take something you know already has problems and think that you're going to fix it, quote unquote, by upgrading it.
Yeah, not a good idea to do that.
So any other kind of cool tips for people that are going to attempt that upgrade?
I think that's pretty much it. And enjoy the experience after when you're on Windows 7.
Okay, let me see if we can squeeze in one more quick question from Lewis. Lewis, we only got a few minutes remaining here. What's your question for Sandrine?
Yeah, I hope my question's not too far off the subject. It's connected with Adobe Reader 9. Is it really worth considering?
Adobe Reader 9?
Yeah.
I don't see any reason to not upgrade to it. It's, I'm sure Sandrine, being from the Microsoft camps, probably not going to have a lot to say about Adobe software, but...
and it would be compatible with Windows 7. There'd be no problem with either Reader 8 or 9 with Windows 7?
I was running the Adobe Reader 8 on my wife's computer at home before 9 came out.
I am running Acrobat Reader 9 so on my Windows 7 machine, so it is compatible.
Yep, it's compatible. I haven't found any real compatibility issues with things. I mean, my wife's doing pretty mainstream stuff with email and Word and that kind of stuff, but I haven't had really any issues. So
yeah, I threw my Windows 7 beta on a Pentium 4 and it worked fine.
Yeah, so I am running it, so I can specifically. I usually don't know all the apps, by the way, and if they're compatible or not. But we do have a great website that we're going to be launching next week on Windows 7 compatibility, which is the Compatibility Center. This is where you want to actually look and check what is compatible in terms of devices as well as programs, basically, on Windows 7.
Well, hey, Sandrine, could you do me a favor when you know what that URL is, or do you know what it is now?
It is basically available on a Windows.com website, and today what you have is the compatibility story from a Windows Vista perspective, and as soon as we launch the product on Thursday next week, it's going to basically say Windows 7.
Perfect.
And it's the database, a live database of what is compatible with Windows 7 in terms of devices and programs, applications.
Well perfect. Thank you so much, Sandrine, for joining us here, and good
You're
luck in your other presentations that I'm sure are forthcoming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. And,
thank you.
Hopefully we convince your listeners to upgrade to Windows 7
next week. We have loyal listeners here, so if Ben says do it, they'll do it. Sandrine Skinner from Microsoft, thanks for taking a few minutes to help us understand a little bit more about Windows 7 and all that's coming. We've got to take a quick time out here, get you caught up with some traffic and news and weather. When we come back, we got more of your calls and your questions. 602-277-5827. Back right after the news.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. Ben and I were just talking. We're both sleepy.
We are.
I didn't sleep well last night.
Me neither.
Has nothing to do with computers and technology, but, you know, I don't know why. I just couldn't sleep. My mind was like going a million miles a minute. So I decided to not stop fighting it, and I just got up and started doing stuff that needed to get done and around the house. And my wife came out at like 3:45 and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, sorry, I was trying to be quiet."
You can never be quiet at 3 o'clock in
the
morning.
She's like, you should go back to bed. I'm like, I tried that. Yeah. And I'm just laying there, so I might as well do something, right? So anyway, I had coffee on the back patio, watched the sun come up. It was cool. You should do that sometime. You have to, like, come over to my house and hang out.
That's far.
It's so quiet and dark. And
you live way awesome. Down south. I live way up north.
Yeah, I don't know about you crazy north and west people. Something wrong with you. Do we do the Geek Speak thing here? We do. Pete's looking. He's got his finger poised over a button. If I keep talking, he's going to kill me because he's waiting to push it, and it's not in a convenient place. And all right, push the button. It's time for our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week, we scour the entire internet. Well, actually, we take about 2 or 3 minutes and try to come up with something we haven't done before. And find a word, a phrase, some vernacular. Something out of the world of geekdom. We break it on down into English. So it's a geek to English translation. So that when you hear somebody say something a little funky, somebody's trying to talk down to you or be a jerk or whatever, you can now know what they're saying and, better yet, join the conversation and fight back. So we call it our Geek Speak of the Week. Ben's going to do it.
I'm going to do it right now.
Hit it.
Today, the Geek Speak of the Week is multi-touch display.
Multi-touch display.
A lot of us know about that because we use it in our everyday life.
Yeah, so if you have an iPhone.
Or a Google phone,
you experience it right now. And that is that if you take, you know, on the iPhone, if you want to scroll something up or down, you take your one finger and you scroll it up and down. Big deal, right? But if you have a picture, everybody's seen this, right? This is one of the big features. And you want to make it bigger, you take that picture and you take two fingers and touch the screen and pretend like you're going to, like, spread your two fingers apart, and that makes things bigger. Or if you want to make it smaller, you pinch it, right? Yep. Push the two fingers together, and it makes it smaller. Or if you have a MacBook, a newer one, and you want to scroll, you take the little trackpad, touchpad thing, right? And two fingers swiped down scrolls, or swiped up scrolls up, right? Where one finger just moves your little mousey cursor dealy around. So that multi-touch thing has been there on devices before. And now it joins the Microsoft family. Windows 7 has that technology built in. Now, you're thinking for your desktop PC, well, that's not going to do any good. You're right. But for those of you that have tablet PCs or some of the newer netbook convertibles, which are sort of light laptops, right? And I don't mean light from a physical sense, although they generally are lighter weight. They don't have as much guts and horsepower. They're also lower priced. But a lot of the convertible ones have multi-touch or have touch built in, and multi-touch is now one of the feature sets built into the operating system so that you too can have that cool kind of experience. So it doesn't sound like a big deal. It's kind of a big deal if you've got a device that supports it. Once you've lived with it, you'll find yourself going to other things. In my car stereo, I've got one of those. It's a touch, you know, it's touch screen kind of DVD, everything, you know, navigation, whatever. But the radio, there's no buttons. It's just a touch screen, right, for everything. And I find myself, out of force of habit, like pinching and using two fingers to try to scroll because I'm so used to doing it now with my phone, right? And so it's amazing how that little insignificant feature becomes a big deal when you start using it. It's like if you've never had two monitors before and then you start using a computer that has dual monitors, it's hard to sit down at a computer with a single monitor. And it sounds like, you know, what do you need all that space for? Once you've lived with it, it's hard to not. Or high-speed internet. You remember when few people had high-speed internet at their houses, most people still had dial-up, and you would go over to your friend's house who had it because it was so much different than your experience.
Yeah.
Now everybody has it, right? So it's that same kind of thing where now that feature's there, and you're going to start to see products that exploit that. So
you're going to see a lot more products that use that.
That's a good Geek Speak.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
See, it actually applies to our lives, which is cool.
And for a lot of people, it already does.
Yeah. Let's jump back on the phones because we talked a little bit about, a lot about, Windows 7, and we got a few people to sort of ask some questions, but we should, you know, get more of people's take about things. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, not me. You can pry Windows XP out of my cold, dead fingers. I'm sticking with that forever. Well, that may or may not be practical. Is that your question, Richard? You want to know, do you have to upgrade? Some people are asking that question.
Well, that's not my question. I made up my mind, and I'm going to be upgrading two computers. One is a laptop, one is a desktop. Both of them are HPs. And the question that I had relates to what's going to happen to all of the proprietary features that I have, like, for instance, the media control keys on the keyboard, things like that, or on the laptop, the hard drive secure feature when you turn your computer off, if you want to take it in your backpack, whatever. What's going to happen to those features? Is it going to be a seamless type of an upgrade, or am I going to have to go to the various sites and download drivers and things?
The short answer is that for most things, for most people, it should be fairly painless. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have to do a little bit of hunting after the fact. So if you just took and stuck the disk in and upgraded, when it's all said and done, it does a better job than ever at detecting devices. And so one of the new things that they did is they took all the old library of hardware devices, right, device drivers,
yep,
and they have included for like the past three or four versions of Windows all in the latest. So a big jump happened with the last release of Windows that now you can really take advantage of, which is the media it comes on is a DVD. So they have so much more room to put things that they included a ton more drivers and a ton more driver support. Plus, if there isn't a specific Windows 7 driver out there, most every Windows Vista driver will work just fine.
Okay.
And so the answer to the question, the short answer is one of the things you can do to sort of head off that question and know a little bit more before you get started is to run that upgrade advisor that we talked a little bit about when Sandrine was on the phone.
Yeah. Which we've done.
Yeah, so if you go to windows.com and click on the Windows 7, it's a couple clicks away, or you can type in a long URL, which is microsoft.com/windows/upgrade advisor. You'll be presented with this little piece of software you can download. And when you do that, it runs, takes about 5 minutes, and it'll go through and help you determine what are the things that need to be upgraded, what are the things that you may lose some function on, and everything else that'll sort of point out that you're going to be fine in these areas.
Does this apply to the clean installs that I'm going to have to do? Because I'm going from XP to 7 Home Premium, and then on the other machine, on the laptop, I'm going from Vista Home Premium to 7 Professional. Both of them are going to be clean installs. So how is that going to affect these drivers?
Generally speaking, if you can live with the pain that's associated with having a clean install, it's a better way to go from a long-term standpoint. It's obviously more painful that you have to reinstall programs, you have to get your data over there, you have to figure out your settings, all that. But if you can live through that initial pain and the initial setup time, it's, in my opinion, it's always better to start clean if you can. So
me and you were just talking about that about your work computer.
Yeah, in theory, the experience should actually be better for you, Richard, if you go that route than the other.
Okay, but I shouldn't be losing a lot of these custom keys, such as the media controls and things that I've got on these HP keyboards.
It's if you ran the upgrade advisor and it's not advising you those things, I'd say probably not. It's going to be a little bit of trial and error, or you can wait a few weeks and do a little bit of Google searching before you go and see if other people, because people will generally Google about that kind of stuff right away if there's issues. So that's my advice, is if you're really concerned about that kind of stuff, hold off for a few weeks, just do some searching. And if you don't see anything, that's probably real good news.
And back up your data before you do it.
Absolutely.
Well, we do that all the time.
Good.
Hey, thanks for the call, Richard. Appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
Have a great weekend. We got to take a quick time out. When we come back, we got Jim, we got Mike, we got Juan, and we got room for you at 602-277-5827. Back after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about Windows 7 and all that is good from the Microsoft camp. And I know some people are probably thinking, well, you know, first of all, one of the questions, do I have to upgrade? No. At some point, you'll have to, right? At some point, you won't be able to get people who, you know, these days, if people come into our stores and they're running Windows 95, I mean, we'll do our best to help them out, but some of my techs have never seen Windows 95. They don't know what to do. And the other thing is it gets tougher and tougher the longer you go to justify spending dough on something that you know is sort of out the door. And so some people will say, well, then I'm going to run it until it stops and then start over with something new. That's fine. That's great. If that's your plan, it's not a problem. But if you're holding off simply because nothing good from Microsoft ever comes, that's just simply not the case. They do have plenty of missteps. we were absolutely not on board. And we told people, if nothing good from Microsoft ever comes, that's just simply not the case. They do have plenty of missteps. We were absolutely not on board. And we told people, if I was you, I would not upgrade to Windows Vista when it first came out. I would hold off for a while, let them get some of the bugs worked out. It's going to have issues and problems. We had seen those issues and problems when we played with it pre-release. And in some cases, we said, you know what, maybe even wait for their first service pack before you even think about it. We were not big fans at the time of launch and continue to be a mediocre fan. Today, you know what, if Windows 7 wasn't out, Windows Vista is not awful. It had some problems early on. But notice I'm saying it's not awful. I'm not saying it's awesome. And with Windows 7, it's pretty close to awesome. I'm sure there's something that I could be more impressed with, but for Microsoft in the last decade, pretty good stuff. I have no problem jumping on board. Ben and I were just talking about it. Even in my work computer, I'm generally a late adopter when it comes to stuff at work because I just need stuff to work and I don't want to mess with it. I've been putting up with my ever-slowing Windows XP computer that, you know, hardware-wise, it doesn't support as much RAM as I want to have. It doesn't support the kind of video cards I have. I have dual monitors, and I have an old-school video card, and it's hard to even find cards that fit in my machine anymore. It's an older, slower processor, way before all the Core 2 Duo and all that stuff came out. I've been holding off upgrading the hardware, knowing that Windows 7 was coming, and I'm going to do both at the same time because it's time. And, it's not for everybody, but I think it's at least worth you taking a few minutes to check it out, to run the upgrade advisor and see on your computer. If you're running Windows Vista today, I can all but guarantee you're going to have a better experience if you switch. If you're running Windows XP and your machine's newer, if you purchased it in the last year or two, you're probably going to have similar performance, if not better performance, with Windows 7. So anyway, definitely worth taking your time to consider. And with that, we won't beat you up too much more about it. We're just trying to get the idea out that don't be closed-minded to it. It's something to think about. With that, let's jump back to the phones and talk to Jim, who gave us a call, 602-277-5827. Jim, welcome to the Computer Corner, sir.
Hey, guys. I built my desktop for Windows XP Pro with a free 2-gig hyper-threading processor, 2 gigs of RAM, which is all SVLC. The reason I didn't go with Vista is because it's such a resource hog. It takes memory serves. It takes like 2 gigs just to run it, and I didn't think the benefit was worth buying the extra RAM and going to it. Anyway, the question is, with my platform now, how well would I be served going 2.7 with that? And what does it take to run 7, and how much RAM will it see?
Well, just real quickly to summarize, it resource-wise, Windows 7 needs less than Windows Vista did. And if you're running Windows XP with the latest service packs, meaning Service Pack 3, probably pretty even performance. The best bet for you, as far as the what does it take specific to you and your situation, that upgrade advisor. We talked about it a few times. Just quickly Google Windows 7 upgrade advisor. You'll find a download link. Check that out. Run it before you go. And definitely back up before you take the plunge. Hope that helps you out there. We got to take a quick time out for some news and get you caught up with some information. When we come back, we've got more of your calls and your questions right here on the Computer Corner. It's Ben, it's Brandon, and we're just hanging out. We want you to hang out with us. Stick
just
around.
Hanging out.
Are you getting funky over there?
Just because you were.
It's because your Hawkeyes are one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's a good song. Not really.
Not really. You just didn't just say that. So we're talking a little bit about Windows 7. You heard my take on stuff. You've heard Ben just say it's good.
It's amazing.
So you you installed the release candidate a while back.
Yeah.
And played with it. It was on your laptop, your desktop, your...
It was on my desktop.
And?
It was amazing.
Your desktop blew up.
It did.
So now you're Windows 7-less?
I'm computerless right now, actually.
Good thing you work at a place where we have lots of computers so you can...
That's why I don't really need one right now.
Right. It's not like a lot of people who, if you were computerless, it'd be like the end of life. Yeah, Ben's in a place that's surrounded by computers all day long every day. He's in good shape.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to go see Ben in person, because he's become a major celebrity now in the Phoenix metropolitan area. What store are you working at, Ben?
Store 104, 19th Street in Camelback.
19th Street in Camelback. That's just down the street from here.
That is right down the street.
Wow, that's convenient.
I know.
So Ben's a nice guy, and he's been around for a long time, and he's been a part of the Data Doctor's world for, God, how long has it been now?
Four and a half years. Yeah.
That's craziness. So obviously he must do something right, because we keep him around, and he's one of many dudes that we're lucky to have around, because they take care of people and I think genuinely love what you do most every day.
I love what I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's good.
It is good.
That's awesome.
I like helping people.
And people like to be helped.
They do.
They talk about you all the time. We do this weird thing where we ask people on every computer we fix, we put this little shortcut on the desktop, like this little survey thing saying, hey, if you have any problem at all, we want to know about it because we want to make it right. We want to learn from it. We want to fix your problem. We want to take care of you. We're not going to hide from it. We've been in business for more than 20 years. We're here to stay. We want to know about a problem. And also, if we did something awesome, we want to know about that too. And it's always cool when people have an experience and they name someone by name. And generally, it's, you know, like, Ben was awesome. He helped me with this. I love you guys. I want to adopt him. No, they don't really say that, but it's always cool. And Ben gets a lot of those. So anyway, enough about Ben. Let's talk about Ben. Let's go back to the phones. Who's up? Lynn, I believe, is who's been holding the longest. Lynn, thanks for being patient and welcome to the Computer Corner.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. So before you ask your question, any plans for any computer upgrades anytime soon to, say, like Windows 7?
This is the first I've heard of it. That's how ignorant I am of computers.
Lynn, it's the first you've heard of it. Oh, my God. Well, you know, to be fair, it's not like there's a lot of folks spending a whole lot of dough advertising yet. For most of the world, it is officially available come next Thursday. So you'll start to see commercials, I bet, next week from Microsoft, from some of the big boys and things.
It's in the last 2 weeks you saw quite a bit.
Yeah, we've got it available in our stores now, as do some other folks, generally more of the sort of local neighborhood kind of places.
Okay.
And then, like I said, you'll see all the big box stores and things have it available next week. But
since
it wasn't really on your radar, I guess you probably can't answer the question. You're probably not ready to take the plunge, because if you were, you'd know all about it.
Well, yeah. I think just listening to you guys here in the past hour talking about it has pretty much convinced me it's a good thing to do.
It's definitely something to not be afraid of. So whether you're considering it or not today, tomorrow, or next week, just know that when the time comes, it's got our stamp of approval, which the last one didn't. So that's
meaning Vista?
Vista, yeah. Exactly.
Now, yeah.
If you got it and it's working for you, great. If you're getting a new computer today and that's your choices, I would opt for Windows 7.
Okay.
Anyway, so you've got a question that's totally not about that. What's your question about?
What happened was, now I'm on Vista, and I had a CD playing, and all of a sudden my hard drive decided to chew it up. So I had to take it in to Staples, and they replaced the hard drive for me. But in order to do that, they had to have my password. So I bring the computer home, and every time I print a document, with my paths and file name, you know, as the header or footer, it shows my name as the user, and connected with my name is my password. And I don't know how to get
awesome.
Rid of that.
So first of all, I can't. It's weird when a place that sells office supplies decides to get into a business that's not office supplies.
Yeah.
So if Ben, if I brought you a computer, and there was a password on it, and you didn't remember what it was or whatever, first you would ask, right? But if you didn't remember, it's not like we can't fix that problem, right?
I would get rid of the password.
But what my guess is that they changed your username to be your username and your password combined into one?
I guess so, but I've gone in and I've tried to find where to change my username, and I've tried different methods, but it doesn't change it.
Yeah, so you can rename the user. Well, first, I think you need to log in as a different user, then and a user that has administrative privileges, so like administrator would be good. You'd go into then the control panel, And you might have to switch to Classic View, which is up in the upper left-hand corner. Find the user's icon. And then you'd highlight the user we're talking about that has the username and password both together. And you'd say, I want to make a change to this account or something along those lines. There's some choices, right? And when you do, it's going to give you the option to then rename the account. And it might give you a warning saying that if you rename this, the profile and some folders associated with it won't be renamed. Is that cool? As long as there's not a bunch of other people using the computer or it's not being shared as far as a resource, the answer is absolutely that's cool. If some of those issues, and it'll give you, here's some of the possibilities of what could happen if we do this, and read down that list, make sure none of those things apply to you. They're pretty rare. Then you can go ahead and allow it to make that change, and that should resolve your problem. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, it does. I just I'm the only one that uses this computer, so, and I'm the administrator. But how do I change it to Classic View?
So if you go into the control panel, then if you don't see users as an icon available in the upper left hand corner, you're going to see a link that says Switch to Classic View or Show Classic View or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So what happens in this is one of those little weird things where they changed. So by default, they decided in Windows Vista that there were too many icons, and in order to make it simpler for people, they were going to take away a bunch of stuff, right?
Group them.
And so they're all grouped up into like five things is now in one icon, which for a lot of people that's sort of backwards. And so you'll see the default behavior in Windows 7 is switched back, meaning that it's by default it shows all the individual icons. So in Windows Vista, if you don't see the user icon, the easiest way is to click on Classic View and then find users versus the group, because I don't even remember what group it's part of. It's not obvious by looking at it. So,
okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but that's one of the methods that I tried, and that's what it shows on my start menu and my login screen, and that's fine. It does not show my password, but in my documents, in my folders, it shows my username with my password.
Only when you print things?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Or when I go in and I just try to find a document.
You know what? There's got to be a setting somewhere. Is this like Word documents specifically or other kinds of things too?
It's all Excel and Word.
Without seeing it, I'm sure it's something that's solvable. I don't quite understand where what is, and so you got two guys that deal with computers and technology every day for a long, long time, stumped.
Yeah. Well, Staples is stumped too. They don't know what happened. They don't know what they did. And
shocker.
They don't know how to change it.
Shocker. I'm shocked and surprised. If we could see it, I'm sure we could solve it. You know what? If you want to go by and see the celebrity that is Ben sitting right in front of me over at Camelback at 19th Street, not right now because he's here in the studio, but like next week sometime, I'm sure he will be able to help you figure out what's going on.
Okay, real good.
All right.
I appreciate it so much.
You bet.
Have a great day.
Hey, thanks for the call, Lynn. You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. I just signed you up for helping Lynn.
Yeah.
I hope you're cool with that.
I'm going to help. That looks like fun.
That's weird.
That's really weird.
Just because if you stump us, then we got to figure out another way to help you, right?
Is it like putting her username and password in the header or just right in the middle of the page?
It sounds like possibly in the header. Like maybe they set up a custom, you know, like in web browsers, you can set up custom headers and that kind of junk. So maybe something like that's been turned on. Oh, you know, in Word, when you go to register it, the first time you use it, it asks for like your initials and stuff like that. And then if you like right click on any document, and go to properties, it'll tell you like the author and last modified date and how many pages and all that kind of junk. I bet you it's embedded in that, which is in the like under options, and then there's a bunch of tabs and stuff in there. I bet you it's in there somewhere.
So you can probably go registry and change it.
Yeah. Those crazy guys over at the office supply place trying to fix computers.
Did she just go in for a CD-ROM, something ate up her CD or something like that?
Yeah, which sounds kind of odd, but
and
yeah.
And then they got...
and then the hard drive died, and I don't know. Something sounds off. Sounds awfully weird.
It's very weird.
Anyway, Lynn, Ben's going to help you out. We got time for... Can't get... Mike, we're going to find out what Mike has a question about. Even if we can't answer him yet, we'll at least find out. Mike, what's going on?
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, I have a basic question. I can no longer get on the internet. How do I troubleshoot, and what settings do I need to check?
First question: Have you listened to the show for a while?
Yes.
Did you ever take our advice and go and download a second browser like Firefox or Chrome?
No.
All right. See, one of the reasons we really advise that you do that, whether or not you want to switch, is so that when something like this happens, you have another choice. So we can figure out quickly, is it a problem with your connection to the internet, or is it a problem with your browser? In your case, we only have one browser, so we can't test that theory. If you had right. if you had downloaded Firefox, then if it didn't work in either browser, we know for sure it has nothing to do with the browser. Right? If it worked in Firefox but not in Internet Explorer, now we know for sure it's not your connection, it's Internet Explorer. So the easiest way, I mean, if for a guy like you to troubleshoot this, is go to a friend's house or get on a work computer, download Firefox and save it onto like one of those little memory sticks, a flash drive, right? And
right.
Install that on your computer. If it works, then we know the problem has to be specific to Internet Explorer. If it doesn't, we know that the machine has a problem. Is this thing on a network with other computers at all?
No. No.
And how do you connect to the internet?
Well, I have dial-up. I'm a dinosaur. I have dial-up. And, you know...
Can you hear it trying to connect and doing all the crazy analog phone noises? And?
Right, right. And it connects. It connects, but the screen doesn't come up. It doesn't connect. What am I trying to say? It doesn't connect, and you know, there's a long pause, and an error message comes up.
Is it possible? Did you have any features added to your phone line lately, like call waiting or anything like that?
No.
Okay, because a lot of people will add a feature to phone lines, not realizing that affects the way your modem needs to deal with things. You didn't switch to any kind of like voice over IP servers, like Vonage, anything like that?
No, and as of 2 weeks ago, I was able to get on, but now I'm just having a, you know, now I can't even get on.
Tell you what, AOL. Mike,
we're going to pop you back on hold and see if we can help you offline here. We got to run to a quick break. When we come back, we got Drew in room for you, 602-277-5827. Back after this. Welcome back. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, we've got all kinds of resources, links, information, good stuff. If you're thinking about taking the plunge with Windows 7 due to launch next week, those resources can be found on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Of course, there you'll also find our audio archives, links to previous shows. We go way, 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 way back in time. You can listen to shows in their entirety. Or see the resources. You can also subscribe to the podcast. You can be a Facebook fan. You can follow our Twitter feed. Whatever it is you want to do, it's all one place, datadoctors.com/radio. Right, Ben?
That's right.
So should we help Drew out and then wrap things up?
Let's do it.
Sounds like a good plan?
Yeah.
Is it good that we make a plan like as if nobody's listening and yet here we are on the air? You think that's professional? Probably not.
Probably not.
Oh, well. Hey, Drew, welcome to the Computer Corner. Hey, you're our last guy here. How can we help you?
Last one, huh?
Last one. You made it in under the wire, sir.
Gotcha. Well, I have more of a hardware question for you guys. I have, like, a gigabyte something SLI motherboard. My motherboard supports SLI. I had a 9800 GTX for a while, and just this past weekend, I bought another one to put in the SLI, but then I read more about my motherboard. And I realized that, you know, it has the two PCI Express ports to support both GPUs.
Hey, Drew, you're throwing out so many acronyms that we have rules here about acronyms. If you throw them out, you have to explain what they are. But you've already thrown out so many that we would be well past the end of the show. So quickly speaking, all the stuff that he's talking about all relates to his display output, right? His video card. He's mm-hmm. talking about this GTX SLI. For everybody listening, he's just talking about his graphics card. What's the question?
My motherboard, the top slot is 16, it's PCI Express 16 times.
Yep.
Or X or whatever. Now, the bottom slot is PCI Express 8 times. So I'm wondering if that's going to be limiting to my two cards. From what I read on the internet, it didn't
yes.
seem like it.
Yeah, no, it will be limited to the slower of the two speeds. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
If you have multiple cards in SLI, the 8X is what you're going to get.
Yep.
Okay. Is that going to be a considerable downturn compared to the 16?
I doubt you can measure it without pretty sophisticated software.
Okay.
Meaning cool. It's hard for humans to notice that difference, but you can sure find a piece of software that'll tell you there's a difference. But
okay. My
rule about that kind of junk is if you need a piece of software to prove there's a difference, that's not enough of a difference to count.
Okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
Now, there's some people that are extreme crazy gamers that absolutely cannot live without you know, they can't live without the best top performance. They're going to say what you got is junk. You know what? For everybody out there listening, you're in the, like, the top 90th percentile as far as the hardware, and definitely in the use of acronyms. So you're going to be fine.
Okay, cool. So I wouldn't notice in, like, rendering or gaming or
what
like
is it you
that.
Do with this? What do you do with this computer, Drew?
I game. I do a lot of Photoshop. I edit a lot of video. It does a lot.
Don't do it. Just don't get two cards.
I don't think you're going to notice a major difference unless you're doing some really serious kind of gaming stuff. For video editing and Photoshopping, nah, nothing.
I just see you kind of probably running those programs to see what the difference is going to be. It's probably going to bug you a little bit.
Alrighty. Well, cool. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call, Drew. And calm down on those acronyms, sir. Stand down.
Will do.
Thanks. Wow.
That was pretty intense.
SLI, GPU, GTX, all this. Whoa, 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 Gigabit, whoa, 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 board. All right. He's worried about what most people are going. I got the built-in video, or I got some, you know, generic whatever. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Settle down. All right. Anything else you want to talk about Windows 7?
Yeah, I was thinking here.
Think.
The touch display that they're going to have on Windows 7?
Multi-touch, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that... I was thinking about...
It's not going to work. Your old monitor that's not touchscreen, it's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
Some people think that it's going to make their monitor do something it was never designed to do. No.
I wonder if I'm able to display that. That'd be cool. Drag it right
across
the screen.
Probably you can.
I know. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I want to be lazy.
Again, if you missed any part of the show, where do they go, Ben?
DataDoctors.com/radio.
/radio. That's for sure where they go. And Ben and I, the Data Doctors, we want to remind you... When it comes to your technology, when it comes to Windows 7, if you don't need it, don't install it, but do consider it.
Please consider it.
We'll see you next week.